The Hittites show a great ability to adapt the arts of the ancient Near East and to create their own set of aesthetics. And the aesthetic traditions that come out of the Hittite Empire of the 14th and 13th century do have a profound influence on later arts. They create the backdrop of relief sculpture, probably even freestanding sculpture, that is encountered later in the Classical Age, which is usually dubbed Anatolian, provincial, whatever, and is seen to feed very much into the hieratic art of early Christianity. And there are a number of sources going back that you can arrange visually that will show that these figures of early Christian art can be traced back to Hittite prototypes. So what I want to do is concentrate on two areas, and these are the city of Hattusas, the great capital of the Hittite emperors, and the shrine just about a mile and a half to the northeast of Hattusas, known by its Turkish name, Yazilikaya, which simply means inscribed rock or carved rock. It's a Turkish name. We don't know the Hittite name. Both sites, which have been under intense excavations since the early 20th century, give us a great deal of information about the cultural achievement of the Hittite Empire. So first, let's look at the capital. Hattusas evolved from a rather modest city when it was refounded in 1650 BC or thereabout by Hattusas I into the great imperial capital of the peninsula. Much of the construction seems to date from the 13th century BC, ironically to the last two or three generations of the entire Hittite Empire. And there's a number of reasons for this. For one, the Hittite kings were too busy conquering their empire in the 14th century BC than to worry about their capital. And for another, the king who initiated the great building program, Hattusas III, had his reasons to do so. Originally, the city was essentially the northern edge of the city that a visitor would approach today. This would be the great temple complex of the weather god and the sun goddess Arena, the sun goddess of the city of Arena. And it would also be the original Assyrian settlement. This would be the lower city. Just next to the lower city, slightly to the southeast, was a citadel, a high point. Boaskale, that gives its name to the site in modern Turkish. There was apparently a rather modest temple complex. Well, in the 13th and 14th in the 14th and 13th centuries, these areas were greatly expanded. Vast storerooms ring the national sanctuary, indicating that the population had risen, the probably dedications to the god. The citadel was completely rebuilt. Apparently a palace structure was put in, vast extension of the number of rooms. And again, we're dealing largely with foundations here. We don't have much in the way of superstructure. The southern two-thirds of the city that a visitor would today approach, that area was all constructed by Hattusas III and his son, Tutahalis IV. Now, Hattusas III was a usurper. He had overthrown his nephew, a fellow by the name of Uri Teshub, and he was very conscious of his political position. And he had to gain respectability in the eyes of the ruling classes. What he did with the city, and has only very recently become evident, is he vastly expanded the city, built impressive fortifications that the visitor sees today. The King's Gate to the east, the Great Lion Gate, where most tourists pose today, and the great southern fortifications. And in that complex, what the city was enclosing was not so much residential areas, but apparently a vast complex of temples. And over the last several years, at least 45 temple foundations have now been located. If you go back to older publications, there were only about four or five about 20 years ago. And what Hattusas apparently did and his sons was to create a ritual capital, to take the great shrines of the empire and relocate them into the capital to make Hattusas a ritual capital. So any visitor coming to meet his treaty obligations, envoys from Egypt, client kings from the far west, or the envoys of those mysterious Greeks, which the Hittites called Ahiawa, appearing before the great king, approached the citadel through this new lower southern city, which was crisscrossed with temples, with axial roads that led you up to the citadel, and you couldn't help but be impressed by all the supernatural protectors of the great king of Hatti. And it explains why in the religious texts that the great king had such excruciating rituals. He had so many gods to appease. Very often the treaties start, and we invoke the thousand gods of Hathi, that is all the different divinities that protect the emperor.